Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. This is the 28th day of January, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's also where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room, the Horn chat room, the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that takes place every evening during the live program, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Otherwise known as 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you'll be in good company when you wander over. You'll be hanging out with Anatole and Jug of Punch and King of Cups and Texas Tea, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Howdy, howdy, howdy! Yeah, more folks will be wandering by as the program continues. Folks just aren't we're liberals, we're progressives. It's not like we're going to send you to the principal's office for not being right there at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's how that works. Wander on by, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump in and enjoy the conversation and the merrymaking. Yes, yes. 3 minutes past the hour, and this is a listener-supported operation. And thank you very kindly to Chris in Germany. Chris sent along a note and wiped out the remaining balance from the previous evenings. Chris said, Dr. Bill's show on the dangers posed by the movements for Article 5 amendments to the Constitution yesterday, being, Wednesday, was terrific. Thanks so much for drawing my attention to it. Thank you for taking time to listen, Chris, and thanks to everybody else who has as well. This stupidity of an of progressives supporting an Article 5 constitutional convention of the states needs to be nipped in the bud like, day before yesterday. Charlie Pierce referred to it as just yesterday, I think, as the dumbest idea short of living in a pup tent in an Oregon bird sanctuary, which it is. So spread the word and share yesterday's file. It was a specifically created deconstruction of a really, really awful, terrible, bad, very nasty, ugly idea. I have this nightmare vision of a bunch of kumbaya singing progressives swanning and waltzing into the Koch Brothers arena there in Kansas for the Constitution of the States, and a bunch of red-eyed, stump-liquored-up right-wingers standing there with baseball bats with spikes driven through them going, "Well, come on in, dumplings!" Because that's exactly what it would be. But this is a listener-supported operation. Let's see here. Yeah, okay. This is a listener-supported operation. And we try to raise funds every evening, keep things on the air. We've got $200 to raise tonight and $200 to raise tomorrow. And that finishes January in the black. And that also has a particular import. I had a note from our buddy Scott, and he said, I want to return to the Beat the Swede challenge. I finally have a client or two who's feeding my PayPirate account and a little right-wing mother donation to my U.S. dollar account. Thus, I may be flush enough for a 2016 all-year-long Beat the Swede without having to resort to currency exchanges. Here's the New Deal. I see what he did there, New Deal. Finish January on the level, and the Swede kicks in $50. Finish February in the black, I kick in 60, and so on for each consecutive month that my fellow hornies ejaculate the green. Oh, it's dinner time, remember. I up the ante by $10 with 160 on the line for December, hit all 12 monthly miss mileposts, and the Swede, having been beaten, will have kicked in $900 for the year. Wow! If we finish a month in the red, the kitty drops back to $50 and begins growing by $10 a month again. So, yes, it's Swedish blackmailery, you betcha, to prod the hornies, but whatcha gonna do? Okay, so that's on the challenge this month and every month. If we finish January in the black, the Swede kicks in $50. February turns, if we finish that, it turns into 60. March, 70. April, 80. And who knows? We might be able to accomplish some things by the end of 2016 if it works out that way. There are plans. And so that is also on the table, conditioned and contingent upon, with the condition precedent that we do finish the month righteously. So, 200 this evening, 200 tomorrow evening, and there we go. Okie doke, okie doke. All right then. Where to go? Were any of us? And I don't want to bring back any bad memories or anything like that. Were any of us? I was bullied in elementary school. You remember that? Wasn't fun. Remember how, well, nice it would be on those days when the bully didn't come to school? Yeah. Carol says, sure, I remember that, for being bullied for being poor. Well, there were a variety of different reasons. I was growing up down in Alabama with parents who were from West Virginia. I mean, we're talking about Alabama after all. I was bullied for being a Yankee. Mm-hmm. But I remember those days, and I remember the bully, too. When, you know, the bully would have chicken pox or something like that, or cold, or, you know, sneezles or whatever, and wouldn't come to school. And it was like life just got better. Yeah, Carol noting, it was like a holiday, and it was. Well, this for Jeb Bush this evening is that. I can imagine that he is, it's almost like he's got little Marco Rubio's lifts in his shoes, prancing around backstage, waiting for the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda debate this evening, and just ready to go out there and show Merca his leadership skills. His mad leadership skills. Because Adolf Hitler is allegedly not going to be there. Because he is convinced that Megyn Kelly has it in for him. you know the backstory on all of this. He said he's not going to show up, and he's going to see how crappy their ratings are. And if anybody should know, Adolf Hitler should know that. Mm-hmm. He knows a little bit about ratings, having been on a reality television program that actually got pretty decent ratings at one point in time. He knows TV. Adolf Hitler does. The hair apparent. And so Jebbia won't be bullied by T-Rump this evening. And it probably does feel like... Well, it probably does feel like a holiday. You gonna watch? Why? What are they gonna say or not say that hasn't been said or not said before? At this point in time, it's just a matter of giving them free publicity, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But this is Jebbia's big night to shine. Oh, he can make up miles and miles and miles of ground in one night in Iowa, and show that a man. And see that they're all going to be really tacky. And so this is the fun part, and I think T-Rump knows this. They're all going to be debating T-Rump whether he's there or not. And this goes back to something that I remember from back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio, working in America's fifth smallest radio market. I would come on the air every evening, and I would do my program. 3 hours, talk about what I wanted to talk about, with whom I wanted to talk, do my thing, hang up the headphones, and go home for the night. And the next day, I would get up. And you remember Steve, he of the monotone, whom we memorialize every Tuesday on Titanic Tuesday. He of the Titanic plates. Well, the next morning, Steve and all of his little right-wing, knuckle-breathing, mouth-walking freakazoids would get up and spend the next 2 hours, the 2 hours that morning of his program talking about me. Now, that's as far as any comparison between me and what Charlie Pierce calls the vulgar talking yam goes, but I understand that, and it was hilarious. I didn't need any more those 2 hours every morning were one long advertisement for Bob Kincaid, and I in turn never said a word about him. And that's kind of how, that works. And so Fox News TV Radio Rwanda knows that they are damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't. They don't. Damned if they do, damned if they don't. Might be time for a little speech therapy, I'm not sure. But that's tonight. So, you know, everything right now, even as we speak, right now, you know everything you need to know about the Republican debate tonight. And why bother? Why bother? I mean, we were talking the other night. First of all, if you didn't get to watch The Mind Wars on PBS on the American Experience the other night, that's open to you. You can watch that online. Or you could go to WGN America, WGNAmerica.com, and you could watch Outsiders. Because that's available online. Either of which, or in fact, since this is probably going to go 2 freaking hours of insanity and foolishness, you could watch them both. and come out at the end still knowing everything about every Republican candidate that you knew before they started it, because there's not going to be anything newsworthy. No, Carol. Gerald did not just win the... Gerald did not just win the pool. I said Adolf Hitler. The trigger word is not Adolf. It's... Now, that's true, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. People may watch because T. Rump said no one would watch if he wasn't there. And you know what? Yeah, I'm not gonna. But I probably wouldn't have if he was. Because he wouldn't have changed the dynamic. The only difference that would have been made by him being there is that maybe one more hateful thing would have been said. And as it is, it's just going to be one... Because, look, the man's an idiot. He's got the vocabulary of a third grader. But he has the predatory instincts of a velociraptor. And those instincts include an understanding of PR, and he understands the first law of PR, and that is there is no such thing as bad PR. If they get on stage and actually call him Adolf, that's too early. He wins. If they get on stage and call him a liberal, he wins. Because he is being talked about. Oscar Wilde understood these principles. And so what I'm going to do, I really am going to watch the Mind Wars. I just am. Because I haven't gotten to yet, and I'm really looking forward to it. But other people in the progressive broadcast sphere, whatever, we few, we happy few, will watch it. And you know what? Come tomorrow night for Friday on the Front Porch, we may wind up talking about what did or did not get said. But I will not have harmed my, what did the Quaker Oats lady, Barbara Bush, what did she say? My beautiful mind. I will not have harmed my beautiful mind by subjecting myself to hour after hour of this monumental carnival of stupid. At least that's where I am on all of this. By the way, Heather pointing out up in Michigan, subject line T-Rump, I think he likes Megyn Kelly. I think he does too. I think maybe they dig each other, and it's one of those quirky rom-com setup kind of deals where they each hate each other, and in the end they end up clutching each other and fondling it. Personally, over on Facebook, Carol Baker posted one of the GQ cheesecake photos that Megyn Kelly sat for. Well, there's the mark of a real journalist, huh? It sits right. It's just like that time that Walter Cronkite posed for Playgirl with the strategically positioned staple. Only he never did that. She's a real journalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But I love the photo, though, that Carol posted on Facebook, and many of you are following her on Facebook. The one where she's sort of propping herself up on the chair in the black slip, but she looks like she's, you know, letting go of one of those farts that you kind of hang on to for a while until you're sure it's not going to be a gamble and lose, and it's right. Blue, leave the room. Mm-hmm. Marty points out, my DVR is too full to watch the clown show. Plus, I think the Sharks are playing tonight. Well, yes, they are. That's what that debate is. That pageant. And we, of course, are intended to be the chum. Remember, these are commercial exercises. This, and especially because it's appearing on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, it has abso-goddamn-lutely nothing to do with public affairs, with informing the public. It has so little to do with journalism that the Venn diagram of journalism is in another goddamn galaxy compared to the Venn diagram of things that happen on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. There ain't no overlap. But what it will do is it will make, by virtue of the ad rates, it will make Megyn Kelly wealthier. It will make Rupert Murdoch wealthier. It will make Prince Abu bin Talal, whatever his name is, the Saudi who funds terrorism, more wealthy. And it'll all be because of the suckers who tune in. I mean, honest to God, we as progressives, do we not have enough sense to understand that there's nothing to be gained? There's no value. There's no purpose. That these Repiglican pageants are nothing but exercises in nihilistic masturbation? Guess not. Because somebody gonna. Smitty writes in, is there a way I can hear that podcast of Dr. Bill's lecture you just mentioned? I'd like to send it to Sam Cedar and Cenk Uygur. Sure. All you got to do is go to whiterosesociety.org, click on the Dr. Bill O'Brien Show subpage, and then go to yesterday's file, open it, click and copy the address in the address bar, and anybody in the world can listen to it. Free of charge. Because that's how we work here at the Horn. Because the people who keep the Horn on the air, well, and this is not an insult, you know, you make all of this free to anybody who wants to hear it because you're picking up George Soros' slack. You're doing what he ought to be doing, what the limousine liberals ought to be doing, but aren't. And you're doing it $200 an evening. Whether that's 40 people at 5 or one person at 2 or 2 at 1 or 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12 and a quarter, or 12:50. I see, you thought you had me. 32 at 6 and a quarter, 64 at $3.13 because we round up. You're doing it. And so, yes, you can take that and you can send it to Cenk, and you can send it to anybody you want to send it to. Easy, 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 easy. And yes, Marty, by not watching the Repiglican pageant, that's exactly what you're doing. Marty says, I prefer to think I'm not assaulting my precious finite brain cells. Now, you know, there'll be news because somebody will watch it. somebody will watch it, and then they'll write alleged news stories about it. Yeah, what's the headline? Republicans say more mean, stupid things. But at least they'll be paid to watch it. The kind of the way sometimes you can sign on for drug studies where you're paid to take the experimental pill. Damn, what's this? Well, it just feels like a little baby's arm growing out of my head. See how it works? Yeah, that picture I was talking about of Megyn Kelly, it definitely looks like she sharted. You know, or
excuse me, was that me?
So, I have a question. It's addressed to me, but I will extend it to the rest of the community. Coming from Ron in Raleigh, Beth in Dallas might be a particularly good resource on this. I'm curious about trap laws, which are being used in many states to close clinics providing women's reproductive health services. In North Carolina, the law follows the ALEC script. Some of the requirements are bald-faced lies, for instance, telling women that abortions cause cancer. What I'd like to know, Ron writes, is if a legislature could put together a sufficient majority, could trap laws like laws be passed to restrict gun ownership in a similar fashion as trap has done to abortion? There's only one abortion provider in Mississippi, yet judges don't think this represents an undue burden. What do you think? Well, a legislature, especially under the theories espoused by people like Uncle Nino Scalia, son of the president of the Mussolini fan club, well, he says legislatures can do just about anything that they want to do, as long as it's constitutional. And to the extent that trap laws have been held to be constitutional, then a trap law for firearms would be equally so. I mean, personally, I'd like to have a law that before you can buy a firearm, you have to answer a series of questions. Things like, have you ever owned a urine-colored snake flag? Have you ever hollered the phrase, Wolverines? Have you ever said, they can take my guns when they pry them from my cool dead fingers? Yeah, by the way, the prying began out in Oregon a couple of nights ago. Yeah, so your offer is accepted. Note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. I don't know, Bob. I'm still waiting for Tail Gunner Ted. You know, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the future anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, to lay out his plan for conquering Canada when he becomes president. So maybe there is a reason to watch. Nah, because like I said, Asa, they're paying. Somebody out there is getting paid to watch this drivel. Why give it to them for free? But you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Smitty's saying thanks, Bob. Happy to help. Share that around. Help. Go and get that and share it with friends and neighbors alike so that we can stop this stupid idea that we should have a convention of the states so we can sashay in and get our, and have our progressive way. And Jesus Christ, how goddamn dumb are we? Nobody said it was going to be easy being a progressive. No. But I wanted to just make the mention, and you know, I don't like Bushes. Never have, never will. Didn't like Pappy, didn't like W, don't like Jebya, didn't like Neil when it, you know, like the story that broke about how the syphilitic Thai hooker was left on his pillow in the hotel, and he went, well, dang, I mean, it wouldn't be cricket, not to use a perfectly good free hooker. Yeah. And then there's Babs with her beautiful mind comment and her fears that all the displaced Negroes from Katrina were going to like it a little too much and darken up Houston a little bit more than they really were comfortable with having it be, and all of that stuff. But it's hard not to. It's hard not to celebrate when a bullying victim gets his moment of freedom. And with that, I want to share something with you. There is a satirist out there by the name of Rocky Mountain Mike, who has produced a song that seems to be absolutely perfect for this moment. So let's take a second and gosh, it's done to the tune of an absolutely precious love song. Just sit back and enjoy.
Jeb Bush is a nerd that we love to deride, for the feeling that we have that he just won't survive. That he is not gonna be the one who sees his dreams, and he is not gonna be his party's nominee. Pennsylvania Avenue. Jeb Bush is a word that more than describes all the feeling that we have for his brother at the right. And he is not gonna be the one, or so it seems, the smart one has the best family genes. And it is not gonna help that exclamation point in his first name, because he is a Bush after all. Oh, I'm beginning to think the GOP won't find a way away from you-know-who to get the right amount of voters, just the right clowns that could make them hear, make them see that they are going right out of their minds. Oh, they could say they love Cruz, but then you'd realize they were desperate and ran a thousand some odd guys who say they love you, and all are faithful to their wives when all they wanted was to take the country over and ruin all our lives. Jeb Bush is a nerd I used to deride, but if Donald Trump wins, we're all gonna die. You don't know how many times I wish that you were noted. As much as I hate Ted Cruz, and I do hate Ted Cruz, and I do hate Ted Cruz. Jeb Bush is a nerd.
I told you, didn't I? Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike. If you wanna find, it's over on SoundCloud. Just in the search box, just put Rocky Mountain Mike, Jeb Bush, and you can enjoy that over and over and over again. Yes. And why wouldn't you? So, let's see, a note coming in here from Gerald. Mentioning my mention of Neil Bush. Mm-hmm.
That's all part of the problem, Bob. The waste in this country. He was just doing his civic duty by not letting that free hooker go to waste in Thailand. Well, a Thai hooker is a terror. No, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, we had... There's a ton of stuff that we can deal with this evening. And, I mean, maybe for once, perhaps, possibly, it's a distinct... Well, no, you know we're going to have to wind up talking about those pathetic little... Pathetic little traitors out in Oregon. I have here. Let's get this out of the way. I have here, courtesy of Sparky, the statement issued by Ammonium Nitrate Bundy. By the way, did you know? And maybe I understand a little bit better now. I still tend to think that charging all these guys with crimes that are only punishable by, at best, 6 years in club fed, I mean, it's not like they're going to be sent to Supermax or anything where they belong. I still think that there's a good bit of white wing privilege involved in all of that. Ammonium Nitrate Bundy has his own lawyer ready, had his own lawyer ready to go. On the other hand, the rest of the schmucks are going to have to rely on public defenders. Isn't that sweet? But Ammonium Nitrate Bundy's lawyer read a prepared statement by his client outside the courthouse. They had a they've been arraigned and they were imprisoned. Without bail because they were deemed to be a flight and public safety risk, you know, only because they threatened to kill people and only because even while they were there occupying the bird sanctuary, they went all over the Western United States, state to state. So, you know, there's probably a good reason. Wait. They're getting to live. They're getting to live for free federal institutions. Wasn't that what they wanted? Yes, but I want you to hear Ammonium Nitrate Bundy's statement, and then we'll sort of we'll deconstruct it, or maybe we'll deconstruct it along the way. I can't remember this clown's name, this noble pleader, this pettifogger. But let's just start. Well, I hope. Okay, let's reload the little bastard. You know, by the way, remember, I reiterate... Ammonium Nitrate Bundy apparently got to call his mama. Or, I mean, not mama, his wife. He got to call his wife from the back of the car. Well, no, Eric Garner never really got to call anybody, that's true. But Dylan Roof did get Burger King. Well, diddly. That thing has tried to disappear on me. Hold on. And I specifically wanted to play this because, well, and maybe the reason it's disappeared is because it was so surprising. But here's the statement. Maybe.
No games, no gimmicks.
Oh, stop with the commercials. That's what happens when you do this stuff on the fly. I had it queued up, damn it. We'll be done with this in a minute. It only takes about, 60 seconds to hustle a car. That's the price you pay. This is, of course, audio courtesy of the Oregonian, or at OregonLive.com. Let's try this again. All that they've accomplished? What did they accomplish apart from getting a bunch of people to send them dildos? Never mind. This is not the statement I wanted, but it'll have to do. Article 3, court, of course. Because this guy thinks he's a constitutional scholar. Wile E. Coyote. Super genius. Do please continue. Yeah, pity he didn't say that when he was carrying the guns in. We are done with the government pointing guns at us to enforce their will upon the people. This is not liberty. Oh, that's a dandy. We are done with the government pointing guns at us. It wasn't it ammonium nitrate Bundy and his buddies who invaded the damn bird sanctuary in the first place and said, "We came here to die." Yeah, it was.
As much as I desire to see my own babies and my wife, and to be a loving husband and caring father for my six children.
Yeah, as much as you wanted that, you didn't want it when you invaded property that was held by we, the people of the United States, trying to make that more perfect union that you were trying to tear apart. They hanged John Brown, and he was trying to do something good. You know, free end slavery. This guy, he gets to make cell phone calls from the back of the FBI car and issue statements in front of the... If anybody can find that attorney statement, I really would like to share it because it was a lulu. I could not believe that a lawyer would allow his client because, well, let's see if it shows up again in here. Oh, notice them God-given rights. No, you don't have them just because you're a human being. Human rights. No, those are God-given rights that are only given to God's chosen people, you know, white folks with cattle that they want to graze on, you know, federal land. White folks who want to take over a bird sanctuary so they can log the living bejesus out of it. White folks who take over a bird sanctuary because they demand the constitutional right to drill on it. Drill, baby, drill. Wee, wee, wee. And mine it too. No, it isn't. The world's laughing. Yeah, we're not getting our white privilege. Yeah, you did.
This dumbass is actually trying to make it sound like this is how he set it up, because, you know, before then they were going to just charge him in one of those state court thingies, and that's not an Article III court with an Article III judge like they has in the Constitution. Well, if you wanted the judge, buddy, then why did you bring in the Nijinsky to run the People's Constitutional Civic Teabagger Grand Jury? Why? Pathetic morons. In other words, to try to foment more sedition. No, you weren't branded as that, you dumbass. You stood there with your goddamn guns and said, we're here and we're going to occupy this here place. And you know, if the federal government will just give it to us and release the arsonists from prison, we'll go quietly. They issued demands. That's terrorism. They sought by threat of force of arms to achieve political ends. It's the heart and soul of terrorism. Do they get charged with terrorism? No, no, of course not. Why? Well, because white. Yeah, that's why all those people in the Burns, Oregon gymnasium screamed at them, go, leave, go now. At the meeting that Ammonium Nitrate Bundy showed up, they looked him square in the eye and said, please leave, you're ruining our lives. We were being successful. Is this guy setting up an insanity defense? Is that what it is? That he's proving by this statement that he is absolutely detached from anything even remotely resembling reality? Yeah, that's what all those please leaves. But over there in Grant County, the meeting was at a place called John Day, Oregon. They were gaining ground because there's a seditious sheriff over there. And they had a whole bunch of potential seditionists waiting for them. Yeah, that's gaining ground. In other words, they were trying to start a civil war. The government chose force that turned lethal. It turned lethal when Lavoy Thinkum hollered, shoot, shoot, and started reaching for a goddamn gun. See, quite often, people of color in this country, especially young male people of color, are gunned down by the police under the pretext of, oh, I thought he was going for a gun. Or sometimes they're gunned down by neighborhood watch captains. Well, I thought he was going, you know, when because he's got hands in his pockets and the kid's got some Skittles and Arizona iced tea in a can. On the other hand, your constitutional white wingers with their snake flags and what have you, they do have guns in their pockets. They really, really do.
Yeah, except for the fact that they said they were more than willing to use them unless their demands were met. Losers. Yeah, until he had a truckload of people and tried to run through a police blockade and wound up running his diesel pick-em-up truck, probably had it set up for rolling coal for all I know, and put them at hazard and caused them to be fired upon, and then came out of the truck trying to, kill him a cop. And you know what the neat thing is? Even if they allow ammonium nitrate Bundy to see the video, when it turns out that Lavoie was committing suicide by a cop, it won't matter. Because ammonium nitrate Bundy already has a version of reality sloshing around with the thin gray settlings between his ears that pass for brains. Yeah, by the way, given the way that... white wingers talked about Michael Brown. Is it okay if we refer to Lavoie Finkham as a thug and an animal and a rabid dog shot down in the road? Is that okay? I think it is. Yeah, listen to that dumbass. Our questions must be answered. You know, you're not in a position to make any goddamn demands, you freak. Oof. Well, that's bizarre. The audio is not going out? What? We hear nothing. Son of a gun. That's frustrating. That's deeply frustrating. That's the one. Wait a minute.
Nope, that's right.
Oh, goody, another tech gremlin. Okay, well, I'm glad. That's because that's going through the mic. Son of a gun. No, I didn't realize that at all. You got multiple screens open, you can't see that stuff. Well, that's okay, because with any luck at all, get there. We've at least got the other clip, and hopefully I can. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Something occurs to me, Steve says. We need to revise the notion of white privilege. I think it's more properly called rich white privilege. Yeah, because remember, Lavoie Finkham had been sucking at the welfare teat for years, to the tune of more than $110,000 a year. Steve continues on another and more ominous note. This whole thing should really give us pause, because it lays bare the fact that there are a lot more people sympathetic to these people than we think there may be. In addition, these sympathetic people are in positions of power, likely at the local level where they can do the most damage. I hate to say this, but this was probably only the beginning. It absolutely is. There are freaks out there going absolutely bonkers. And just itching for the... And in the... Remember what I said about them going and coming freely as they pleased, hither, thither, and yon? Well, they were setting up the next occupations. The John Day meeting was to draw more... It was to draw more seditionists to their side. You know, I've been saying for years, cold civil war. And these bastards are trying to hot it up for all they're worth. And Steve's right, they may be gaining ground. Go figure. All right, let's try this again. Because I really do want you to hear this. This is the, oh, damn it, is this going to, my God, how many gremlins can we have in one evening? Oh, for Christ's sakes, don't ask. Mike Arnold is, representing... ammonium nitrate Bundy. He's a lawyer from Eugene. That's the statement. Here it is. This is the first statement, and this is the statement that Mike Arnold read and made me wonder if he ever had a class in... Well, never mind. This is the statement from yesterday, the 27th. First, I want to address my beloved friend Lavoie Thinkum. Lavoie, short for lavatory, is one of the greatest men and greatest patriots I have ever seen. His love for this country ran deep through the blood he gave yesterday, and I mourn for him and his family. I'm praying for you fervently in every prayer. Thoughts and prayers, Ammonium. Thoughts and prayers. He's dead. We will have more to say later, but right now I am asking the federal government to allow the people at the refuge to go home without being prosecuted. So the dumbass is still making demands from inside a jail cell. To those remaining at the refuge, I love you. Let us take this fight from here. You got that? Let us take this fight from here. This the Mike Arnold character actually read that into microphones on the steps of some official building and admitted that those were the words of his client. Now, if you go wandering through things like rules of professional conduct, you will find that one of the things that no lawyer is ever supposed to be is a lawyer in his own case, or a lawyer in a case. He's not supposed to be a witness in a case in which he's lawyering. There, that's easier. Well, arguably, Mike Arnold made himself one by doing that. He read that statement into a microphone, which is why I wanted to actually play the audio, but we'll get along with this. This fight is our, no, let us take this fight from here. He's still referring to it as a fight. He wants to fight. He's admitting he desires conflict. Please stand down. Go home and hug your families. This fight is ours for now in the courts. Please go home. And here's the fun part. I love this. Being in the system,
We are going to take this opportunity to answer the questions on Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the United States Constitution regarding rights of statehood and the limits on federal property ownership. Thank you, and God bless America. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, to the uninitiated, to the dead from the neck up, to those people who can't tell the Constitution of the United States from a turnip, that might sound real legal-like. So let's go to Article 1 of the Constitution. We've been there before, but let's go there. And find out just what it is he's talking about when he says, regarding the rights of statehood and the limits on federal property ownership. Article 1, Section 8, that was according to the Arnold Law Firm, Cause 17. Yes. Article 1, okay, scroll, Section 8. There it is. Let me make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And that's what he said. Article 1, cause 17. Yeah. And it reads as follows. The prefatory language says the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. That's Clause 1. But it has a semicolon. So that means there's other things the Congress shall have the power to do. And Clause 17, fire that paralegal, says, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding 10 miles square, as may by cession of particular states, meaning Maryland or Virginia, and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Okay? That is the enabling language for the creation of the District of Columbia, 10 miles square. Okay? It is that's all it is. But this numbnuts, this seditious fool, thinks that means that we can't have a goddamn bird sanctuary in Oregon or anywhere else. Do you see where this idiocy and one of the prime promulgators of it is none other than Uncle Nino Scalia? You see where this idiocy of originalism gets us? Do you see where poor reading and comprehension skills get us? This is straight out of the sovereign citizen movement. The same dumbasses who think that they can kite checks all over the country and coin their own money and with the dried foods and the pudding in a bucket and. Mm-hmm. So this guy, the ammonium nitrate Bundy, thinks he's going to stand up and say, Article 3, judge of this here Article 3 court, I object. You ain't got no jurisdiction because of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, because we's more than
10 miles square from the Capitol.
And bless his heart, the federal judge is not going to look at him and say, you know, you're fucking nuts. Because he doesn't want to commit error. He's going to very patiently say, objection overruled, next. But it's also pretty clear, by virtue of the fact that he refers to it as a fight, that this dumbass intends to cost we, the people of the United States, a hell of a lot of money trying his seditious ass on one miserable charge that all it is 6 years in Club Fed. It's not like 6 years at Leavenworth. Meanwhile, if there's any chance that you even remotely doubt my assertion that these are some seriously privileged babies, well, we got ourselves some more audio. We do. This is of the last remaining. There are four. Are they? There are four little weirdos. The fifth one went wee, 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 wee all the way home. There are four weirdos remaining out at Malheur. They're apparently sitting around drinking beer and smoking dope. And I would like to personally extend my gratitude to whomever it was that sent them some dope, because These jagoffs obviously wouldn't have enough brains to go out and they expect it to be given to them, okay? Because they're patriots, but they're also in a state with legal weed. So at some point in time, they stopped and picked up a bag, or somebody sent them enough money to go buy a bag. There's four of them, and they're having a hissy, because they feel like they're being dealt with unfairly. Get the hockey puck. There may be some giggling involved.
Alrighty, folks. So this is the update, verbally, I guess, what's going on. So the FBI said that out of the four, there was five last night. There was five people here left after all the chaos, and you know, people thought that this was going to be a peaceful protest. And after the cops started shooting, obviously it wasn't peaceful. And a lot of people...
Yeah, dumbass. People thought this was going to be a peaceful protest. Here's a little hint for having a peaceful protest. Don't bring fucking guns, you dumbasses! I mean, just thought experiment. Can you imagine what would have happened if, in crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge... The people seeking basic civil rights and voting rights had been carrying semi-automatic assault rifles, or any rifles at all, or a goddamn musket, or so much as a slingshot, or a pair of toenail clippers. The Alabama National Guard would have gunned them down, and it would have been far more bloody than it was even as it stood. But see, the right wing can't take any cues from the left. We're actually pretty good at this nonviolent protest stuff. The only people who have taken any cues from the left are the people who are opposed to a woman's right to control the workings of her own body, and they do this kind of stuff. They lock themselves down at women's reproductive health care clinics and things like that. But they also shoot people, and so you know, not many of them. But that's how you do nonviolent protest. Just from my own standpoint, okay, and I'm as Robert Frost once wrote, I am so liberal I won't take my own side in a fight. If these dumbasses, if these fools, these jackanapes, these, what's the word, Ron and Raleigh? Pillocks. Had gone marching into Mahler and moved in with, then, you know, brought some stuff with it, and had the foresight to take their own snacks, dildos or whatever. And they had sat down without guns. I would have been compelled to at least consider their position. To at least wonder what it was that aggrieved them. Now, law enforcement would have come and law enforcement would have taken them away. Being white folks, they would not have been beaten. They would not have been, they would not have been abused in any way, and they would have been treated as what is generally referred to in the protest community as catch and release. And they would have paid a fine. Maybe some of them would have decided to stand on their rights and have a trial. You can do that too. But the minute, the instant, the iota in time in which some one of these idiots said, "Hey, let's not forget to take our freedom protecting guns," all bets were off. I mean, I've been in churches, okay? And no, I didn't catch fire or anything when I walked to the door. I've been in churches with hundreds of people in them. And what was going on there is was teaching. People were being taught how to do nonviolent civil disobedient protest. Because there are, it's almost like there are formal rules. But see, these little peckerwoods, they think that their guns are what conveys gravity to their situation. They think that firearms make them, make their issue more significant, when in fact all it does is make them criminals. I said toward the beginning of the program that I intend to sit down and watch the Mine Wars tonight. Well, I take no small amount of grief sometimes for my position, and I'm happy to be in the company of Mother Jones, Mary Harris Jones. The Mine Wars in West Virginia were very real. And they were a hell of a time. And the men who participated in them had a hell of a lot more grievance than any of these little right-wing pissants. The men who took up arms in West Virginia weren't even being paid in American money. They were not free to come and go as they pleased. They could not live anywhere that they pleased. They could not even purchase the staples of a basic life existence anywhere they pleased, because their company scrip was usable only at the company store. They knew the cries of their babies going hungry in the night. They knew the brutality of a freezing Appalachian winter. They knew the tears that they themselves shed, that mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and neighbors and families and communities all shed when the mine blew up and when bodies were not able to be recovered and brought back to the surface and the sunlight for proper Christian burial. They knew these things. They lived with these things, day in and day out of grinding goddamn poverty and backbreaking labor and no relief and no surcease of sorrow. They knew these things. And organizations like the United Mine Workers of America, which was once a respectable union. Heard their grief. Heard their sorrow. Heard their fury. And said, brothers, don't take up arms. Don't do this. Because the minute you do, you will become a criminal. The minute that you do, you will become a thug. And the minute you do, it will make you a target that is just as likely to be gunned down like an animal in the street as it is to be negotiated with. Don't do this. Mary Harris Jones, Mother Jones, who had stood by her boys, that's what she called them, her boys, through all of these travails. Mary Harris Jones, who had seen her children, her very children, die of disease. And had taken that grief and in late life channeled it into a determined passion for working people. And had become an organizer for the United Mine Workers. She preached hell, fire, and damnation, and had more piss and vinegar in her than was more feared. She was the most feared human being in America, and a woman into the bargain when it came down to who the plutocrats and the oligarchs and the capitalists hated and feared. It was Mother Jones. And she said to the miners, boys, you know I love you, but for the love of God, don't pick up your guns, because they'll squash you like a bug. And those miners, those heartbroken, furious, righteously aggrieved miners looked at her and said, Mother Jones, you know we love you, but you've gotten old now and you've lost your nerve. And so they took up guns and they started shooting. And eventually, the fledgling Army Air Corps of the United States of America, under the tutelage of one Billy Mitchell, who had developed during the First World War a theory of aerial bombardment, was allowed to fly his planes in to Charleston, West Virginia, and use them to go and drop bombs on working people who sought nothing more than the barest, most meager dignity of human life. Those men had a cause. And like I said, I've gotten grief for criticizing them for taking up arms, because Mother Jones was right and the United Mine Workers leadership was right. And I am right. That nothing was served by taking up arms against people who have, if nothing else, a shitload more guns than they could ever dream of. There were miners marching into the hills of Logan County around Blair Mountain carrying firearms that their grandpappies had carried into the Civil War. Muzzle loaders, flintlocks. And in the aftermath of the Battle of Blair Mountain, and sad I am to say that there are a number of people, and a lot of them are kind of young, who get downright dewy about the heroic miners taking their weapons and marching to stand up to the Kempney. And it's hard to explain to them, and I don't know why, that all that taking up arms business accomplished absolutely nothing. Not a damn thing. Well, it did accomplish something. It got the fledgling United Mine Workers crushed such that they ceased to be any kind of a force whatsoever for good in the coal fields of Appalachia. It got the leaders of the conspiracy charged with treason and tried for the same and convicted of the same. It got the working people whose working conditions were awful as it was, it got their conditions made worse. And it stayed worse for 10 long years. Until a man came along by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. After the same plutocrats and oligarchs and capitalists had just about completely murdered the American economy, had been given their heads, given free rein so much that they were actually able to destroy American capitalism, which incidentally is what capitalism tends to do to itself. And the American people grew sick and tired enough that they threw the Republicans out of Congress and they threw the Republicans out of the White House, and instead they got Franklin Delano Roosevelt and a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, and those three entities, the presidency, the Senate, and the House, went to work with a will to try to save the tattered remnants of the Union that the capitalists had all but destroyed. And in that process, recognizing not just the suffering of workers in Appalachia, but the suffering of workers under a capitalist lash all over America, they passed something called the National Labor Relations Act that made it okay, finally, for workers in America to join unions. And only because of that act of legislation, not because of a whole bunch of fucking guns, but because of that act of legislation upon which the guns had not a goddamn bit of influence, only because people were determined to work through a civil process, did relief ever finally come to the suffering and aggrieved working class, again, not just of Appalachia, but of this country. If anybody ever had a right to take up guns, it was the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of freed slaves who had been denied for 100 years the basic rights that they were promised by the passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. If anybody ever had a right to take up arms, it was those miners in Appalachia, but in neither instance would take it served no purpose in Appalachia. And guess what? A few years later, a couple of men founded something in East Tennessee called the Highlander School. And they had as their teachable moment incident, incident, incident after incident in which working people had resorted to violence and had in fact been crushed by the forces of government and capitalism. And they set about creating a means by which social pressure could be brought to bear that did not require the use of guns. One of them was Miles Horton. And the Highlander School was set up originally to teach organizers how to organize workers. But some years later, a seemingly meek woman by the name of Rosa Parks would be invited to study at the Highlander School. And a young minister named Martin Luther King Jr. would be invited to study at the Highlander School. And therein, out of the lessons of resorts to violence and out of the teachings of Gandhi, we get the modern nonviolent civil disobedience model and its many successes. But in order for them to succeed, they could not be enamored of or beholden to the foolhardy vainglory of godforsaken, goddamnable guns. And of course, because these are liberal and progressive principles, right-wingers like ammonium nitrate Bundy, well, the American West was one with guns. God, guns, and guts is what made America great. And so they took guns. They took guns to a bird sanctuary and dared the federal government to use force to eject them. Of course, the FBI instead used brains, of which ammonium nitrate Bundy and his pals and Ryan were sadly out, with which they were sadly outnumbered, predictably outnumbered. I mean, this is the right wing. They're dangerous, not just because they have guns. They're dangerous because they have guns, and they're really, really, really pig-eyed, mean, and stupid. And because they're stupid, they respond stupidly. I mean, for heaven's sakes, ammonium nitrate Bundy's sitting there saying, y'all go home now. We're going to fight this fight about whether or not this year in Oregon is the District of Columbia. Well. And his goddamn daddy's out there saying, fight to the end! Fight to the end! Let me tell you about the Negro! Piece of shit. But of course, his ass isn't on the line. His ass wasn't on the line when he was having snipers put the crosshairs on representatives of We the People. So he can do that, fight him to the end, which is the equivalent of saying, "Come on, y'all, let's you and him fight." Woo! Hit him, and that's what leads you to this. 9:16 a.m. Thursday morning, January 28th, 2016, at a bird sanctuary in a distant corner of Oregon.
All righty, folks. So this is the update, verbally, I guess, what's going on. So the FBI said that out of the four, well, there was five last night, there was five people here left after all the chaos, and you know, people thought that this was going to be a peaceful protest. And after the cops started shooting, obviously it wasn't peaceful. And a lot of people, you know, they didn't want it to be another Waco. You know, they weren't willing. The best way to put it is they really weren't ready to die because they had family members and obvious reasons. That's true. So a lot of people left. and, you know, the people who were committed to stay, because there was a lot of rumors of fears of FBI arresting all the people that are fleeing, so a lot of people stayed. And initially they thought the FBI, we heard that the FBI was coming to raid the compound. I think that was on the Pete Santelli show live before they arrested him two nights ago, whatnot. So we're here. The FBI was telling us, we talked to them on the phone. They're saying that four of us were okay to leave. As long as you leave, if you don't have any federal warrants out for your arrest, you're free to leave. And they said Sean, one of the guys here, he's the one they charged with a federal warrant. And the felony charge of it's basically interfering with a federal employee's job, like interfering with his work. And so it's strange that he's being charged with that. The one guy out of the five here, one of them left last night. So now out of the four here, he's the only one being charged with that.
Quiet your flag, brother. Please. They know you guys.
And so we thought that was strange.
This man out of Utah is trying to help you guys. Hey, Talk Radio, putting up an immediate release.
So basically, it turns out that if you do leave, that they end up charging you later, and they're pressing charges on everybody who is here, it sounds like, with that same felony charge of interfering with an employee's, you know, federal employee's job. And so I think...
What do they expect? I mean, I'm just asking, what do these idiots expect? Do they think that they are so clothed in their whiteness that they won't even get a parking ticket? Which, for all intents and purposes, this Civil War era statute is. I mean, 6 years conspiracy. Not even alleging an overt act of any sort. Did they think they were just, well, hail fellow well met? I mean, you guys had the best of intentions. Granted, you brought enough goddamn guns to the bird sanctuary to kill every bird here and start a civil war, but we're just going to forget about all that. What do you say? Is that okay, boys? Yeah, go on home. Go and sin no more. Or for that matter, go and plot the next one, you seditious pricks. That's what they expected? Really?
For heaven's sake. But I guess so. Because privilege. I mean, that's the only possible answer that there is. Privilege, plain and simple.
I think that's like 5 years prison sentence. It's a felony. And so, of course, if you get a felony, you can't vote no more. I mean, they take your guns away. So it's a pretty serious crime or charge. And it feels unfair because...
No, dumbass, the crime's serious too, not just the charge.
You know, a lot of those rioters over there in Ferguson and whatnot, you know, they went...
Oh, hockey puck, wait a minute, we're going to get all of this. Carol, I know about the plea agreement, and I know how, you know, Carol, no drinky and all of that stuff, but you might want to get the swirly straw. Or maybe just do what Kate used to do and throw your dress over your head and run screaming around the room or something, because this is gonna make you crazy.
Prison sentence, it's a felony, and so of course if you get a felony you can't vote no more. I mean, they take your guns away, and so it's a pretty serious crime or charge, and it feels unfair because, you know, a lot of those rioters over there in Ferguson and whatnot, you know, they went to the riots with intentions of robbing and burning down cities. And everybody here came with intentions of thinking it was a peaceful, you know, peaceful revolution, you know, try to make a stand. And everybody, you know, brought guns, I guess.
That's just kind of an afterthought, isn't it? And everybody got the guns, I guess.
And we were going to have a peaceful revolution, and everybody brought guns. I guess
to the riots with intentions of robbing and burning down cities, and everybody here came with intentions of thinking it was a peaceful revolution. Try to make a stand, and everybody.
How do you have a peaceful revolution and try to make a stand and bring guns and loop back to the idea that the revolution is peaceful? I mean, Jesus Christ, even the Minutemen in Massachusetts had their firearms there, and they had no peaceful intent. The purpose of the Minutemen was to be ready in a minute to go out and use those guns to kill other people whom they deemed were threatening them. You don't have guns for a peaceful purpose. I mean, okay, yeah, hunting, but ask the damn deer or the bird or the squirrel how peaceful that is. No, I'm not getting all PETA on you, don't worry. Having guns for peaceful purposes? Jumping Jesus Christ with an M16!
Brought guns, I guess, just as self-defense measures, but obviously...
Against whom? Self-defense measures against whom? Birds? Herons? Egrets? Puffins? Parrots? Crows?
The crows probably are actually smarter than your average teabagger, but we'll take that as read.
You can't have guns and have peaceful purposes. You simply cannot.
Well, I mean, what about self-defense?
Well, that means that you're anticipating a lack of peace. Self-defense itself is unpeaceful. It's an affirmative defense, but it is not peaceful. There's no such thing as peaceful self-defense. If you're using your fists, it's not peaceful. Jesus Christ, is there...
The fear of them, the FBI coming to kill them, they weren't really... They'd rather stay with their families.
Well, you know what? The FBI would not have come and killed a one of them if they had stayed home. If Lavoie Think on him had stayed in Arizona with his foster family that he was getting $110,000 plus a year for looking after and getting free labor out on the farm out of, the FBI never would have come after him. Nobody was coming after nobody. These guys tried to incite sedition. These people tried to orchestrate a putsch. And yet there are people, there are thousands, maybe millions of people in the United States going, you know what, they got a point. Fuck! Fuck me.
So a lot of people left, and they left with their guns here. A lot of people, so it's crazy. It's pretty crazy. So we're still stuck here, four of us. They're telling us, it's safe to leave, but it's not. So we're kind of waiting around to see. What happens?
Oh, just holler Wolverines, you dumbass.
So that's a scoop for now, and I guess everybody have a wonderful day. I know. It's sunny.
It's pitiful, isn't it? I mean, if these people were not complete assholes, this would be pitiful. Let's hope that the Skype line is working, because that's the same computer that the audio wasn't working on for that noble pleader a few minutes ago. Hey, Carol. No echo. I see audio going out. Yeah, it's a little ledgy out here.
Hey, Carol, this is making me crazy. I don't know what to do here. And this is a little bit of inside baseball, but when you talk, I see the meters move on the thing that is sending out the stream to the wide, wide, wonderful world, okay? And they can't hear you. And that's on me, and I don't know why. No, it would not have the same effect if you called on the stress line. Assuming you can hear me, the stress line will work perfectly. Let me make sure it's paired up. Hang on. Stand by a sec. Okay, well, everything's good on this end. 304-663-4676. All right, and what I'm going to do here is, in the meantime, let's see, let's shut out of that and shut out of that and turn that off. Damn, that's frustrating. Really, George? Mr. Soros? Can I call you George? Could we please just get a rock-solid broadcast set up that we could count on every night? I mean, you wouldn't even notice it, George. I mean, you wouldn't miss it. So I'm gonna while I wait on Carol to call, we're going to do a restart and see if that makes any difference. No, the funny thing is, and Asa just asked me a question. The funny thing is, the audio settings are just fine. I mean, this is something that just started at the beginning of the program. And wow, is it frustrating. All right, let's see if Carol can hear on this here line. Oh, Carol.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
It didn't sound like you. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's me.
It still doesn't, but that's okay.
Okay, as long as I don't sound like a Cylon.
Yep, no problem.
Okay.
I lost my shit a little bit when he made the comparison to Ferguson protesters, maintaining that they came there with the intention of causing violence, which was total bullshit because I was there. The people who were causing violence were planted provocateurs. And then the liberal media made it a point of playing only that on continuous loop.
Right, and liberal media with tongue planted firmly in cheek. Right?
What?
I said liberal media with tongue planted firmly in cheek.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Or foot up the ass, whichever way you want it. But there was another thing that I read last night that absolutely made me lose my shit also. There was a piece on Salon.com by somebody by the name of Amanda Marcotte.
Oh, dear
and
God.
It was entitled...
Yes. Do please.
Oregon militiamen fell right into the Fed's trap. Sorry, liberals. The government was right before waiting to take them out. And she went on to make comments about, well, the occupation was expensive and disruptive, of course, leading the Democratic government of Oregon to ask the Fed to step in. But this only reinforced liberal suspicions that the Feds were blowing this off and were not holding these yahoos accountable for their actions. Well, those fears were proven dramatically wrong Tuesday afternoon, when lawmen and law enforcement confronted the militiamen on an open highway. So it turns out the worry words were getting all over nothing, despite all the hand-wringing over whether the Feds were taking this seriously enough. In the end, it turned out that the Feds were right and the worry words were wrong. And I was like, you know, but this is nothing more than what is termed a concern trolling. And I had to answer, fuck you, Ms. Marcotte, because you know what the federal government didn't do? They didn't cut their power. They didn't cut their water. They allowed them to rifle through personnel files and damage native artifacts. They watched as vandalized fences and permitted them to come and go free for 3 weeks while sharing a party handshake with the local sheriff. But it took 2.4 seconds to shoot Jameer Wright. Darren Wilson got $1 million in donations and a free pass, while Michael Brown got a post-mortem character assassination. Freddie Gray looked at a cop bunny and couldn't even make it to the police station to be booked without getting a broken neck. So, thanks for missing the fucking point.
Well, that's, you know, concern trolling, absolutely, and I've seen well, what was Moran Monday, Alyssa Rosenberg, remember her?
Exactly.
But I think we've got to come up with a better word than concern trolling. Libsplaining.
Well, okay, libsplaining. Yeah, please tell me what I was thinking.
Yeah, explain to me why I'm so wrong.
When I'm not wrong.
Right.
That's not what liberals are pissed about at all.
It absolutely flabbergasts me. Because there are real problems that have there are real problems that have not been addressed, and there are issues, Carol, that relate to race. I mean, there's no way, and it's not like I want any African American groups or Black Lives Matter or anything to push the envelope on this. Because we know what the response would be. I mean, last night I mentioned Same Mohammed, and I can't remember his last name, up in Milwaukee, whose conduct I'm not defending, but the FBI sold him a gun and then said, "Wouldn't you like to shoot up somewhere for Allah or Mohammed or something?" And he said, "Well, I guess so. You're under arrest."
Exactly. So there's, we're really talking about, you know, a three-tiered justice system, because there's justice for rich people, there's justice for stupid white people, and then there's justice for everybody else.
Yeah. And for the life of me, I can't, where does it come from? I mean, the Bush administration, remember this way back when Barack Obama was first taking office, Carol? And the Bush administration had commissioned that report that said the greatest threat to American security was right wing hate groups.
Absolutely.
And then it happened to get released under the Obama administration, and I personally think that was deliberate. And the entire right wing said, see, the liberals is trying to paint us as dangers. Well, they are.
But it doesn't change the fact that hate groups have gone up 1,200%, as has been, each one has been identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah. And so,
it's not my imagination. People are a lot smarter than me.
Yeah, this is just, I don't know, it flabbergasts me.
Well, it flabbergasts me, too. My connection is so bad that you sound like I'm talking to you from the bottom of a deep well.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you can hear or the listeners can hear.
I'm hearing everything you say. Am I any better to you? Or worse?
I'm getting like most of it, but it's like it's so muffled.
Yeah. Oh, so God.
it's just, you know, third world tech problems from Hooterville to coal country.
Ain't that the truth? But thanks for coming out on the ledge with me, Carol. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's okay. Remember, don't throw your cigarette butts on the right wingers. They get pissy.
Yeah, well, they might shoot you. Be good, Carol. We'll talk soon. Thanks for making the effort.
Hey, no problem. You take care, and I'll turn you back on the box here.
All right. Who knows? Skype may work now. I don't know. I restarted the machine, for what it's worth.
Okay, cool.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
That might work.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye now. No end. No end of problems. But I did appreciate the company out here on the ledge. Gets kind of, lonesome. No, not lonesome, but I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong about this. I feel really, really confident about that. My God. Okay, it only gets stranger. Robert says, yet here in Oz, I can hear both of you loud and clear. Okay. The tequila with a swirly straw is not the answer. We know that much. All right. So, I tell you what, I'm going to, no break all the way up to now. So I think a break is probably called for. Oh, damn. I didn't realize that. Okay. I got it. I understand. 7:34 p.m. Damn it, Gerald. The H word was in the song, the Jeb Bush song. Son of a gun. I didn't realize that. They just sneak. They sneak it in. They sneak it through. So we will take a break. It's 7 minutes before the hour. 2 hours of uninterrupted broadcasting. That's not bad compared to the interruptions that come with most others. Yay. A couple of emails to share. Philip says, Jeb? Bullied? Going back to the first hour. I have to disagree with your analogy of the bullying of many of us in high school and earlier with what Trump has done to Bush. Describing Bush as being bullied is akin to saying Stalin was victimized by... Look, it is not two for Thursday. Victimized by Hitler when Hitler violated their pact in World War II. To be Republican and support any of the current candidates requires that one is innately a bully seeking to intimidate others to preserve privilege and willing to support those who compete for being nominated as the biggest bully of the bunch. More importantly, Jeb would turn his wife over the former La Migra and have her deported despite her citizenship if he thought it would gain him the nomination. Well, that's true. I suspect what troubles Jeb the most is that stupid older brother screwed the pooch for the younger brother who might be slightly more competent were he shudder elected. And Philip, I don't even know that that's real anymore. Notwithstanding my disagreement, Philip says, I want to thank you. I had assumed Barbara Bush was the defensive line coach for the Denver Broncos until you referenced her. Thinking you were wrong, I checked Google and found out you were right and that the defensive line coach is actually Wade Phillips. I always appreciate being corrected when I am misinformed. Oh, we've had a lot of Barbara Bush references on this program, but never to Wade Phillips. That's restaurant quality, Philip, really. Lastly, I haven't watched any of the Republican debates. I appreciate the media's obsession with Trump because it gives me an opportunity to constantly refresh my passive German, but when it comes to actually watching the sound bites and campaign shtick that are erroneously described as a debate, I regard it as sticking my fingers down my throat until I vomit. Given that I have no logical reason for doing that, I have no legitimate reason for violating my censure of Fox and letting its inanity echo throughout the walls of my tiny and humble abode.
I'd rather listen to you and then trim my ear hair afterwards than watch the surge of testosterone among those representatives of the white supremacist party. As for Bundy and company, why doesn't the RICO statute apply and, in addition, charges of terrorism and sedition? The few cowards that remain on federal property say they will give up if they will not be arrested. Hello, the People's Reactionary Army has fallen from being allegedly committed to fight and die for their alleged principles to fearing imprisonment. Clearly, they are willing to fight for the cowardice of their convictions, so to speak. Strange times indeed. Be well, Philip. I love notes like that. And your guess is as good as mine and the rest of us, Philip. I mean, yeah, RICO is there, the Racketeering-Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act. And for that matter, why doesn't that mean we can take down the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers and the Patriot Network? Because it's all just a seething, writhing, serpentine nest of sedition. Now, that's not me saying I want to suppress free speech. I don't. I don't at all. But there's a difference between free speech and free speech enforced at the muzzle of a gun. If you've got a gun while you're engaging in free speech, your gun is speaking. And your gun does not have First Amendment rights. It lives in the Second Amendment. Philip continued, why does the advocate and attorney for the People's Reactionary Militia cite the Constitution? What he and his clients want is resurrection of the Articles of Confederation and dissolution of the authority of the U.S. government. I'm weary of the disingenuous crap that these folks regularly cite and their use of the Constitution to support their narcissistic, racist sense of entitlement without any responsibility to or even willingness to recognize an obligation to respect the rights of the larger community. I'm almost at the point at which I believe that the left and progressives have to arm themselves if only to show the NRA and folks like the idiots in Oregon that we won't be intimidated by their fascism. I lived in Texas during Waco, Philip continues, and recall vividly Texans and members of the general public being disgusted and angered that the federal government was not taking more direct action and was instead attempting to negotiate with Koresh, and have since watched with amazement at the elevation to martyrdom of those willing to die for their false prophet. It makes me want to holler. The building in which I worked was second on McVeigh's list because of the ATF office within it that helped orchestrate the foolish concession to public pressure that served as pretext for the Branch Davidians to resist and die with their alleged messiah. Unfortunately, my personal ethics prevent me from even considering purchasing a weapon. Aren't we now all strangers in a strange land? Well, amen. All this has me pondering whether I and a few other demented souls should drive to Arizona and reclaim the Bundy Ranch for the citizens of Mexico, given that it is land that was seized after a fraudulent war. Sadly, I realize that we on the left must remain sane and not seek to prove that we, too, can be as extremist and foolhardy as the Bundys and their allies. Again, be well, Philip. And, of course, that raises an issue. Look, I want to be completely clear. If a group of people who are related to the people who were living on that land for the last 10,000 years ago before it was stolen from them, if they want to go and sit in at Malheur, I'll be 110% behind that. Because, for starters, they won't bring guns. And they've actually got a legitimate claim. Well, hey, well, there went my microphone. This one's not long for this world, is it? They've got a legitimate claim, you know, title to that land. Not, you know, it's not theirs because they want to drill it or mine it or log it. It's theirs because, you know, for instance, by operation of the same theory that that the Balfour Declaration used to make a complete mess of the Middle East, they lived on it for a lot of thousands of years, and therefore, and you know what? Their God gave it to them, too. So I would have no issue with that. But a bunch of weirdo
breakaway fringe Mormons trying to expand Greater Deseret and claiming the Constitution that they seek to overthrow to do it? No, not so much. I'm with Philip. So let's take a break. And if you, well, we can test the Skype line, and say, and I'm going to take a few minutes during the break to look at all the settings. There is no reason for them to have changed. We do know that the one USB interface has died, or half of it has died. Oh, well. But I'll have this working again by Friday on the front porch, one way or the other. Yeah, when I said my mic died, I meant that, well, there's something that happens where a whole bunch of the power falls off of it. And then, who knows? Let's see. Well, hard to tell. But I'm going to tinker a little bit while we have the break, because it is Thursday, after all. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn. And that means we've got the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And that will afford me a little bit of convenient time in which to scream at some electrons. Because I just love doing that during the live portion of the program. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we are trying to raise $200 tonight. We try to do that every night. Like I said, Chris very kindly knocked off the remaining outstanding from the rest of the week, taking us down to $200. And we are thus far for the evening at zero. So any help is good help. $1 at a time, $5 at a time, whatever. But remember, finishing to the good in January is key to the beginning of the Beat the Swede All Year Long Challenge. Okay? Okay. So we'll take a break. I thought of this when I was talking about armed violence and minors. And if I hear that these ignorant doofy pick this song up too, I'm going to get pissed. But this is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back. Thank you.
up for the bosses. Don't listen to their lies. Poor folks ain't got a chance unless they organize. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you?
It's Thursday, January 28, 2016.
Climate change is the greatest business opportunity to come to the United States in 100 years.
Democratic presidential candidates focus on climate and clean energy in Iowa.
Well, in terms of short term, it's a lot of work to take out pipes.
Flint, Michigan residents stuck with corroded lead pipes for now. It's not just Flint. Poor communities bear the most toxic pollution. Plus, score one for coal miners in the fight against black lung disease.
All of those fights and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
30 to 35% of your energy now comes from clean Iowa wind, which wasn't there 15 years ago.
Well, the wind was there 15 years ago, Governor O'Malley, not the... No, never mind. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, well, the Democrats are talking about climate change and energy at their debates and or forums. The Republicans or not, or if they're talking about it, they're basically making fun of global warming, saying it doesn't exist or we shouldn't do anything about it. Well, now we've got 15 mayors in South Florida who are calling on their own state senator and presidential candidate Marco Rubio to knock it off. These are 15 mayors in South Florida, which is facing serious problems already from rising seas. They don't like the fact that their own senator is laughing about climate change, even though, by the way, he didn't laugh about it, you know, 10 years ago when it was okay to talk about climate change, even for Republicans.
Ooh, home state smackdown.
Yep. What other smackdowns you got for us today?
Well, at the Democratic Presidential Candidates Forum hosted by CNN just before the Iowa caucuses, both Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley volunteered that climate change is one of the most important issues facing all future presidents.
In terms of climate change, which everybody here knows, and apparently everybody in the world knows except Republican candidates for president, is one of the great environmental crises facing this nation.
Governor O'Malley focused on economics, calling climate change a great business opportunity.
The greatest business opportunity to come to the United States in 100 years. And I am the first candidate in either party to put forward a plan to move us to a 100% clean electric energy grid by 2050 and create 5 million jobs along the way. 30 to 35% of your energy now comes from clean Iowa wind, which wasn't there 15 years ago. And you employ 5,000 people in a new industry. And the great thing about those big component parts you see rumbling down the highway on I-80 is they're too darn big for it to make a whole lot of sense to import them from other countries. So you have to build them here.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton didn't mention climate or energy at the CNN forum, but to be fair, she also wasn't asked about it. All three Democratic presidential candidates have distinct, detailed policy proposals to address climate and clean energy, plus assist coal communities with the transition. The Republican presidential candidates don't.
No, they don't.
In the Flint water crisis, Michigan's Republican Governor Rick Snyder has now requested long-term federal funding to mitigate the impacts of lead poisoning on Flint's children in coming decades. But in a press conference on Wednesday, Snyder said there are no plans to immediately replace Flint's corroded water system. That will come later, he says. But he promised new anti-corrosion treatment chemicals will be added to the water and gradually build up a new protective coating inside the pipes over time. Meanwhile, Flint residents are still required to pay for that lead-contaminated water that they can't use. Two new class-action lawsuits filed this week are seeking to stop the city from shutting off water due to non-payment and are demanding all past and future charges for the contaminated water be wiped out. Yes, they are still being charged some of the highest water rates in the nation for water they can't drink.
Amazing. But it is always fun to see these Republicans who hate the federal government turn around and beg for help from the federal government.
A new study released this week shows that the poorest communities in America bear the greatest burden of extreme industrial pollution. The study, published in Environmental Research Letters, found that 90% of the most toxic pollution is generated by just 5% of facilities, so-called super polluters. The study confirms that these super polluters are far more likely to be located in or next to the nation's poorest and minority communities. Finally, a federal appeals court has upheld a new federal standard requiring coal mine companies to reduce coal miners' exposure to coal dust, which causes deadly black lung disease. The court rejected the industry's argument that the cost of installing the new equipment was too expensive and not worth the incremental benefit of reducing coal dust exposure and thus black lung disease.
Wow. Avoiding death is now just an incremental benefit, I guess, in the coal industry.
It costs too much to save just a few lives.
Apparently so. For much more on all of the stories we covered today and the ones we could not get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Sometimes all I need is the air that I breathe and to love you. All I need is the air that I breathe. Yes,
well, no particular solutions to the problems. Oh, it's back. Oh, this is getting frustrating. 14 minutes past the hour, I wasn't able to sort out any solutions to what the hell all was going on and or is going. We may or may not have the Skype line back. I don't know. I'll test it after the program or whatever. Thank you very kindly. Steve in New York says, can't do much, but I got a $10 challenge here. So just to make sure that we don't goose egg the evening, at least during the live portion of the program, Chris, having taken care of the outstanding from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there's a $10 challenge on the table. Note coming in from Steve in China. Subject line: belly up. Bob, one, turn the Trump no holds barred factor into political ammunition for the future of the GOP. Two, get the dopes and dupes who are encouraged by freaks like Trump to identify with self-proclaimed anti-government agitators and malcontents. Three, solidify this base movement and allow it to gain momentum into the next and following election cycles. Four, let the whole putrid mess percolate and bubble and spontaneously generate into an intolerable froth of terror, suspicion, tribal bloodlust, and open violence. Five, serve piping hell hot. Or, might I add, Steve, serve piping white hot. And I do mean white. Bon appetit, says Steve. Sure, they're all a bunch of stupid assholes, and who doesn't like a good laugh every now and then? Trouble is, irony sometimes cuts like a dull, bent knife. And it does. It does. I mean, that's, we try to keep the goddess of irony off our backs.
but she plays rough. She can play really, really rough. So, well thought indeed, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Now, where else? What else do we have? Hey, how about a freedom update? Chesapeake, Virginia, about 200 miles south of Washington, D.C. Some freedom broke out there today. An entire family of six human beings is dead today. There was an hours-long standoff with police. Mm-hmm. The incident began when police officers were called to check on another house on Wednesday afternoon, and they found a dead body there. So then, being police, they began to investigate why there was a dead body in the house that they were called to check on. And lo and behold, they found a guy with a freedom protector, obviously probably a lawful gun owner, who just went a little funny, you know, funny, in the head. And he had barricaded himself inside the house. And apparently he had barricaded himself inside the house because he'd killed his five relatives. And they were all family. And then the guy who had barricaded himself inside the house did what ammonium nitrate Bundy and the fellows out at the bird sanctuary didn't have the common decency to do, and that was save the people of the United States, or in this case, the Commonwealth of Virginia, the cost of a trial. Because freedom. Yeah, they finally got into the house shortly after 2 a.m. this morning, the 28th of January, and found five people dead. Because we can't have any discussions about gun violence in this country that doesn't involve saying, well, you know, some people's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, meanwhile, those guns got to be good for something, right? The governor of Maine, you may recall, is a cretin by the name, and I don't mean someone from Crete, I mean C-R-E-T-I-N, cretin, by the name of Paul LePage. And this guy is a walking embarrassment to essential concepts of Homo sapiens. A couple of days ago, or within the last couple of days, Paul LePage said he wants to bring back the guillotine. And he wants to start lopping the heads off of drug dealers. Now, by drug dealers, of course, he doesn't mean the CEO of pharmaceutical industries or anything who produce things like OxyContin, hydrocodone, what have you, that get seriously abused and, you know, burn up communities all over the United States. No, not those drug dealers. No, he's talking about the drug dealers who he said even prior to that, you know, come up to Maine and get a white girl. I got the wrong accent, don't I? They come up to Maine and get a white gal pregnant. Is that better? Well, he's pushing that freedom envelope. I tell you, everybody in Maine, we have constitutional carry. He said this on camera. He said this with a camera pointing in his face. Didn't cover it up with his hand or anything. I tell you, everybody in Maine, we have constitutional carry. Because you don't have to have a permit to carry a concealed handgun in Maine. We're going to have that here in West Virginia soon, too. I got a note from Kelly earlier.
It was a charming little article. West Virginia advances bill on concealed carry without permit. Advances. That means it's not sitting in committee no more. That means it's on the move. That means freedom is on the march here in here in West, by God, almost level West by Cold Virginia stand. That's what it means. It advances. Yay. Members of the West Virginia Citizens Defense, whatever. For a second straight year, West Virginia lawmakers have taken up a bill to allow people to carry concealed handguns without obtaining permits. This is such a great idea. You've got, what was it, 800 people just got laid off by Alpha Natural Resources? The coal company that used to be Massey Energy, that used to be run by Don Blankenship, who, never mind, you know. And, of course, all 800 and probably a majority of the 800 people or more who got what are called WARN notices, who will be out of a job come, like, March. The vast majority of them think that Obama in our White House has a war on coal. Him and his goddamn EPA done took away my job. And so naturally the teabagging legislature wants to make sure that they can all carry weapons without having to even get a background check or a permit or nothing. Don't even have to send in a couple of box tops from a bowl of shoot 'em up cereal. House Judiciary Committee members took up the bill Wednesday morning, that would be yesterday, shortly after an early public hearing where proponents called the current $100 fee for five-year concealed carry permits an unreasonable tax on their right to keep and bear arms. National Rifle Association lobbyist Dakota Moore. Luda, you out there, buddy? Does that piss you off? Because I'm pretty sure Dakota Moore is no more a member of an indigenous group in the United States than I'm the Padishah Emperor of the Known Universe. National Rifle Association Dakota Moore said, "What this bill amounts to is elimination of a tax on a fundamental right to self-defense." Bullshit, he said the Robin, and he turned and walked away. You do not have to have a gun to engage in self-defense. Ball bats, kitchen knives, katanas, throwing stars, sticks, stones, bare fists, sometimes balled up around a roll of quarters. You can self-defense with just about anything. Poor old Harrison County Sheriff Albert Morano said, "Sheriffs are not against guns, and we're not against the Second Amendment, but sheriffs also support responsible firearms handling, and we support training because we know that's an important part of carrying a firearm." See, there, here in West Virginia, the sheriffs actually have to be trained before they're allowed to go out with a gun strapped to their hip. Then arrived there to the committee, poor old Keith Cart. And he told the committee, "I can't afford the $100 fee for a five-year license, and I'm afraid to walk the streets of downtown Charleston without a gun." He can, of course, afford the $1,000 handgun. Priced handguns, I do that from time to time, you know. I walk into gun stores because I'm able, through my multi-talented nature, to walk in and just sort of, you throw on a camo shirt or or something that says, have you killed a liberal today or anything? And you walk in and, oh, hail, feller, well met. God bless America. God bless the Second Amendment. God bless you. And you go in and you just start, I just thought I'd come, you know, I'm worrying about the little woman. I was looking for something for her that she can carry in her freedom-protecting brassiere. The freedom-protecting brassiere is over there. Is she a chesty lady? Because we ain't got none of the freedom-protecting brassieres don't work so good with your double A and your A cups. You're going to want to, the little woman's going to need to be at least a C if you want to put anything in there with any real firepower to it. These right over there, we got them in beige, and we got them in brown, we got them in white, and then there's them special pink camo numbers. We got them for your larger women as well. Absolutely, absolutely. Now I tell you what, them larger Freedom Protector brassieres, you can goddamn near get a bazooka in one of them some bitches. Mm-hmm. But then, no, I want to look at the guns first. And so you go and you pry, and sons of bitches are expensive if you want a decent one. I mean, something nice like a Sig Sauer. Yeah, you're talking $800,000. But Keith Cart can't afford $100. That's $20 a year, by the way, for a concealed carry. I can't afford it, and I'm scared half to death to walk down the mean streets of Charleston, West Virginia, dodging bullets everywhere I goes. And so you're taking away my freedom. Mm-hmm. It seems like every time I'm on the street in Charleston, Capitol Street, Virginia Street. You know what's on Capitol Street and Virginia Streets? Law offices and banks and an ice cream stand and a peanut store. If someone approaches me and tries to con me out of money. Really? So you want to be able to shoot them? You want to be able to shoot the panhandlers? Because, see, they're not trying to con anybody out of money. I mean, okay, maybe it's a con.
Pardon me, sir. Do you have a dollar I could get to help me? I could have to help me get a warm meal. And I look at him and I haul out a $5 bill and I say, look, buddy, I know you're not going to get a meal. If you're going to get a meal, that's great. But if you just need to go get a drink, that's none of my business. Here's a fin. God bless you, sir.
That constitutes a con to freedom-loving Keith Cart. Dick.
And all this bill does is level the playing field so people who can't afford a permit can defend themselves when they're approached by these persons.
You got that? The proponent, the citizen proponent of this bill, who was allowed to actually speak to the committee. Wants to draw down on anybody who comes up to him asking him for a quarter for a cup of coffee.
They're trying to con me.
And, of course, no one there said, hey, Keith, buddy, numbnuts, it's not legal to point a gun at somebody who asks you for a quarter.
Well, it should be. Hey, can't we get a bill here that allows me to gun down anybody that asks me for a cup of coffee?
Gerald asking, you walk into a gun store, yeah, but aren't you afraid of being discovered that you are not of the body? There's your obligatory Star Trek reference. Absolutely. No, I'm not afraid at all. My cloaking device works well. You just walk through the door and you, God bless Smith and Wesson. And they'll run right over to you and you, no secret handshake or nothing. I love me some Second Amendment. I want to make sure I got something with enough stopping power to knock down your average hobo when he asks me for a cup of joe. So, yeah, last night on a 17-6 vote, the teabagger legislature, teabagger members of the Judiciary Committee, and probably some mugwump Democrats into the bargain, sent the bill to the House floor. Now they did tweak it a little bit from last year. Because last year it was anybody who can buy a gun. Now you have to be 21 year old to be able to conceal to carry. But that's just going to get challenged in court by the 18 years and one day old grandnephew once removed on a distaff side of the cart family from Keith, who's going to, what about my Second Amendment rights? I don't hardly have the courage to walk down the streets, the mean streets of Charleston, West Virginia, to score me some meth without I got a piece on me. And I can afford the $1,000 pistol, but I can't afford no $100 permit. Okay. Look, I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I'm the soul of compromise. How about we make the concealed carry permit a dollar? Not a dollar a year. How about a dollar for 5 years? Well, I can't afford the training for the hunter safety class. Okay, we'll make that free too, some bitch. You're just trying to register who has a concealed gun after my Second Amendment. Yeah, that's the one that's the one that'll get them all around you hugging on you. Gerald says, and what happens when you walk into the gun store and you say, God bless the little white babies? Oh my goodness, they'll bring you your own Cleveland robe. Now understand, if you are between the ages of 18 and 21 in this here new bill, you can get yourself a provisional concealed carry license if you can pass a background check and a gun safety course. Well, why wouldn't you just wait till you're 21 and you ain't got to do nothing? The bill also retains all existing standards and requirements for obtaining concealed carry permits. Then how is it not a concealed carry permit? Going to get a little interesting around here. About time for me to make that asylum request. Thank you very kindly. David just sent a note. Can't afford much, David says, but I'm a member of the Horn, and I want to thank you for all the help you give to me. David, those are kind words, and thank you very, very, very much. And that you say that's not much, I say that's a lot. So Steve's $10 challenge has been met, and that means we've only got $180 to go in the next 26 minutes or so, or whatever happens overnight. Tim says, permit-free concealed carry in West Virginia. Sorry, Bob. I don't plan to visit West Virginia. It's too, all caps, dangerous. Hell, I feel safer in Watts, Compton, South L.A., and East L.A., and you probably are. Wonder if the tourism industry, because, you know, they've been doing some lobbying and stuff. They're trying to get a new bill through the West Virginia legislature that would allow them. I know, wait, you're going to scream. And I'm going to get back to the main story. I promise, honest to Jesus, I am. The restaurateurs and tourism people and stuff are trying to get a bill through the teabagger legislature that would provide an exception to the rule that says you can't be serving no alcohol in no restaurantes in West Virginia, Stan, before 1 o'clock on your Sundays. The bill is being referred to as the brunch bill, and it would allow restaurants to begin serving alcohol on Sundays at 10 a.m. You know, brunch, where the ladies who lunch like to have a mimosa, or maybe somebody wanders in and would like to have a Bloody Mary just to kind of take the edge off of last night. You can't do that in West Virginia right now. Because, see, church don't let out till noon. And ain't nobody needs to be listening to the words of the Lord God Almighty. Ha, glory. Sorry, that one snuck out from prayer meeting Wednesday. Nobody needs to be a drinking nothing at all ever. But at least the heathens out there can have the common decency not to drink until Jesus has left the building at noon. I don't know what's wrong with you damn sicko heathens. You got to have to all the time be drinking of your alcohol. It's bad enough you drank on your Friday nights and your Saturday nights. Do you really have to get up on Sunday morning and come and defame and defile the Lord Jesus Christ with your liquor and up with your brunch and your Kir Royals and your mimosas and your Bloody Marys and your bull shots and your Red Bull and your vodka? You really got to be doing that on Sunday when Jesus is a-watching? Now, you'll notice I told you that the concealed carry bill just went like shit through a goose through the House Judiciary Committee and is going straight to the floor of the House, where it will be re-siphoned through said goose even faster. But a bill to allow people to have a cocktail with brunch on Sunday, it failed in the legislature last year and the year before, because Jesus. Sickening. But you're right. You're absolutely right, Gerald. Everyone know that liquor is the devil's drink. Hell, I was hoping maybe we could get an amendment to the growler bill this year so that you could get a growler of cider, because you can't do that. You know, I was so excited. We got growlers last year. And some lucky soul is going to wind up with a growler from Secret Sandwich Society and a t-shirt and some coasters and a sticker. It was nice to get growlers, but when I got, I said, well, okay, because I love the renaissance of cider, hard cider, and there's some good ones out there. Everything from sweet to dry, a pear. I had a grapefruit cider. I don't know. There's a lot of people who don't drink, and that's okay. And I'm not, you know, no. But no, it's illegal to put cider in a growler because cider is deemed wine, and you can't put wine in a growler. But by God, you can put a firearm into the hands of anybody who can muster up enough money to buy one. You think our priorities here in West Virginia are a little bit, I don't know, skewed? And no, I got to wonder how the tourism people feel about it. Come on and visit West Virginia. You may get gunned down by a pissed off miner. And won't you just feel trendy then? A note coming in from Philip. I share Carol's outrage and anger, but I would go back even further. When I see the deference that was given to the armed terrorists in Oregon before this week's denouement, I not only think of the unarmed black youth slain during the last few years, but I recall, too, Fred Hampton being slaughtered while sleeping in bed. My only disagreement with Carol's phrasing is that I do not consider our legal system a justice system. The laws have been and continue to be designed to protect the rights of property and wealth, and were never designed for the majority of us. Certainly not for Carol, Ron and Raleigh, the angry Indian, and you in Appalachia when this republic was established. Even the limited Wagner Act was undone by subsequent legislation for the purges during the 1950s of union officials who did not politically endorse capitalism. Labor rights have been further eviscerated by subsequent congressionally endorsed measures on behalf of employers to further weaken organized labor, whose leaders have too often sought to protect management rights by bargaining for wages and benefits rather than seek reform of the structure and imbalance in power of the workplace disappear from the equation. All of this is why Clinton's vow to tinker with rather than recognize the inherent injustice of the legal system is both laughable and contemptible to me. A lawyer most of her professional life, she's only realized this year the inequities of our legal system and who it serves. I will detest having to vote for her if she is nominated, but then there's nominees and appointments to the Supreme Court if she's not elected. Amen. But then again, you know, she never was a criminal lawyer. She was a corporate lawyer. That's why she sat on the boards of, you know, places like Walmart. Philip continues, I'll contribute at the beginning of February. Well, that's thank you. Very kind. You don't have to. Medical bills and a small donation to Sanders' campaign took priority this month, but the small price of a contribution to the Horn to try to ensure that this program continues and gives voice to folks like you, Carol, the Angry Indian, and so many others for us, the listeners, is a must. As of April 30th, I'll be losing one of my on-air news sources, Al Jazeera America, which is the only news source on television other than Democracy Now! And the flawed PBS NewsHour that I can even watch. I can't help but think of the dismal prospect of losing the Horn, and frankly, look forward to making my meager contributions because there are all too few forums in which people like me are able to vent and discuss, and most importantly, from which we derive hope. Wow. Thank you, Philip. Thank you. And, you know, when I hear what this little community means to so many people, it stirs me to the absolute bottom of my soul. It truly does. And it lets me know that you, not I, you, over the course of the last decade, have created something far, far more than anything that any of us who were in on the beginnings of this ever dreamed it could possibly be. You know, I make my George Soros jokes, but you know what? You really are. You really are doing the work by keeping. Because, see, I know you don't just contribute to the Horn. You contribute to other progressive media outlets. You contribute, you know, to Malloy. You contribute. I don't know who else runs on this model. Nicole. Some of you contribute to Ben Birch at White Rose Society and all that Ben has done to keep this going. He's never sent a bill. It should not be this difficult, but it damned well is, because the George Soroses of the world aren't doing their job. Just ain't. Just ain't. By the way, Carol notes that Al Jazeera Online will at least remain. Holy crap, what? I just got a tweet a little bit ago from Sandra, from RT. Luxury yacht of Microsoft's co-founder rips up 80% of endangered coral reef in Caribbean. Microsoft co-founder and billionaire Paul Allen's yacht almost entirely destroyed a coral reef in a protected ecosystem in the Caribbean. Allen, who has denied that his crew was responsible, would face a fine of up to $600,000 if found at fault. Jesus Christ, he wouldn't even know he wrote the check, would he? According to local authorities, an anchor chain from Allen's 300-foot-long vessel, oh my God! That's a yacht the size of a football field. The MV Tatoosh plowed into a sensitive reef in the Cayman Islands. Of course, the Microsoft co-founder was in the Cayman Islands. Of course he was. Ruining 14,000 square feet of it, which amounts to about 80% of the protected coral species. Early findings already indicate extensive damage, and investigations into the circumstances of the incident are ongoing with the assistance of staff aboard the Microsoft billionaire's superyacht, which was anchored close to the Doc Poulsen wreck and the Knife dive site. That according to Cayman News Service. The incident occurred January 14th. It's believed that Allen was not on board his luxury yacht at the time. Yet, on Wednesday, Allen's office rushed to deny any involvement of his yacht's crew and put the blame on the Port Authority. When crew was alerted by a diver that her anchor chain may have impacted coral in the area, the crew promptly and on their own accord relocated their position to ensure the reef was protected.
That's not the same thing as saying we didn't do it. That's saying we did it and then we moved.
The situation is particularly awkward for Allen, given his reputation as a global leader in supporting ocean health, as well as for being a supporter of cutting-edge research designed to stabilize and restore coral reefs. The incident involving Allen's yacht is just the latest in a series of mishaps.
Oopsie!
That have contributed to the demise of the Cayman Islands coral reefs.
Wow, who needs them anyway, right?
Just recently, Pullman Tour Cruise Line's Zenith ruined a significant part of the reef. A Carnival Cruise Line ship, the Carnival Magic, dropped an anchor on the endangered coral reef in 2014, ruining more than 11,000 square feet of it. Though it failed to admit any responsibility for the incident, the company ended up paying $100,000 to the Cayman Islands National Trust, which went towards the Magic Reef Restoration Project.
Oh, Jesus.
Jennifer notes, I'm suddenly having flashbacks to the day of the Valdez. Okay, not as huge, but these things haunt. Ooh, Jennifer also tells me there's a cidery up in the hills behind our cottage that does a cider brunch that will make you and Agnes weep.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes. Thanks, by the way, to Jason. Thank you very kindly. And to an anonymous brand new subscriber. We are now only $140 away from closing out the fundraising goal for the evening. Gerald notes, speaking of freedom protectors, a man was shot along Matchlock Road in, that's Matchlock, not Matlock, Matchlock Road, which is the name of a firearm, Matchlock, in Davis Creek. Oh, the goddess of irony never sleeps. Oh, no, no, no. Gerald notes, going back to capitalism and unions, and a funny thing that capitalism, as an official of my local union, part of the oath is that I am not or have ever been a communist. So much for that political freedom, huh? Right. Yeah. Not so much. But no, I said I was going to get, no, we're going to deal with this Paul LePage story or bust. So I went off into the weeds about West Virginia and firearms and sorry, but we got 10 minutes remaining in the program, and I think I can work through this. So he announced he wants to guillotine drug dealers because drug dealers come up there and get our little white Mena girls pregnant, and then. I tell you, everybody in Maine, we have constitutional carry. Load up and get rid of the drug dealers, because, folks, they're killing our kids.
Oh, really?
He wants people to take their freedom protectors and go and start extrajudicially executing people that they think might be drug dealers. Now, understand, Maine may be actually whiter than West Virginia. So what do you think the leading determinant is going to be as to whether one is a drug dealer? Three guesses, two don't count?
Skin color, maybe? Yeah, of course. Because he's already told Maine that the drug dealers are coming up here and getting our little white girls pregnant. Yeah, no, really, that quote was, D-Money, Smoothie, and Shifty are coming to Maine to sell drugs and impregnate our young white girls. Mm-hmm. It is, isn't that just charming? Yeah. Get rid of the drug deal. So, is that supposed to make... I'm definitely not going to deal any more drugs in Maine. They might chop my head off. Hell, I might as well be trying to sell drugs to ISIS. No, I don't think so, because, see, that's the thing about prohibitions. It's just too profitable. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Carly Fiberina hasn't given up yet. Just one last story before we get out of here. Matt Johnson of Direct Action Everywhere was the last person Carly Fiberina called on during a town hall at the Iowa Pork Congress. That's an annual event that is a giant jubilee of pig. And he's an animal rights activist, Matt Johnson. And he said, how could it ever be acceptable to kill pigs simply because they're in a weak, vulnerable position? These animals are individuals with unique personalities. They like to play, and oftentimes many of them are very affectionate. They have a vibrance about them and an emotional intelligence and a curiosity about them, very similar to cats and dogs and similar to children. They're probably smarter, pigs are. They're smarter than horses. They're smarter than cattle. They're probably smarter than cats and dogs and similar to children. Knowing this, how could it ever be acceptable to unnecessarily exploit them, harm, and kill someone simply because they're in a weak and vulnerable position? They happen to be born differently than ourselves. To which Carly Fiberina replied, well, sorry, but wow. You're sitting in the middle of the Pork Congress, and you ought to be very happy that these people produce food for this state and country and the world. I really wish there was that much passion in that young man for unborn children as there are for pigs. We have to take back the character of this nation. So the woman who fetishizes the little precious fetuses, well, she compared fetuses to pigs. She's a gift that keeps on giving, isn't she? Jennifer points out, by virtue of the fact that Paul LePage is bitching about drug dealers coming up here, Shoddy and Smoothie, and getting our white girls pregnant, Jennifer says, wait, abortion must still be legal in Maine. He says they're 99% white. Where are all the biracial children? Paren, Jennifer adds, asshole. You know, which he is. Gerald says, I like the transatlantic accent, Bob. Keep it up. Transatlantic? What? I thought I was doing something up nigh east way. I try. It's all an approximation because all the voices in my head come down to hillbilly sooner or later. And we'll have to get by. And just, one more, and then we're gone. You know the foo-frog that's been out there, and I'm not trying to diminish it or demean it by calling it a foo-frog, or a kerfuffle, over Oscars so white, because they are. I mean, 2 years in a row, there just hasn't been a single black man or black woman who turned in any acting performance that was worthy of the note of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences.
Not one. And so, once again, the hashtag retrended Oscars so white. Well, there's been somewhat of a response. Within a few years, with all deliberate speed, the Academy will see if they can't find some black people to put on their to put on the Academy, so that they'll quit hashtagging them. And hopefully there won't be any protests at the Academy, because, you know, those gowns are so very expensive, and it's such a lavish, lovely night for all of the film community. enter because attention star, enter Bristol, Harvey's Bristol Cream Palin. Pecking at the keyboard with her nose, because I'm pretty sure she can't type. She said, either we want to have segregation or integration. If we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the NAACP Image Awards. Okay, that's something Stacey Dash said. So then Harvey's Bristol Cream jumped in to defend her and said, I have to admit, I don't know who Waka Flocka is or what he sings, but I agree with him on this. Though Ice Cube didn't mention Stacey by name, isn't it interesting how he echoed her sentiments exactly? We shouldn't segregate ourselves or limit Black History Month to 1 month a year. I wish things were really colorblind. I don't know how other people think about it, but I hope my son sees early on that not everyone gets a trophy. Nope. And not everyone who claims that they went into combat goes to combat. Not everybody who claims that they have combat-induced PTSD does, even though they wind up playing with guns and beating up their girlfriends. That would be Bristol's brother, Long Jump Palin. Wait, shot put? Javelin? Give my regards to the Jack of Clubs and the Queen of Diamonds. So we need to get, not only does she not appreciate people pointing out that we need to get rid of Black History Month, because we just need to celebrate history all the time, even though she don't know a goddamn lick of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, son of a gun, time to get out of here. Thank you very kindly for putting up with the technical difficulties this evening. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time. Holy cow, there's the yacht. Son of a gun. 1, 2, 3, 4. One, two, three, four, five. 6 decks. Length of a football field. I bet that thing's got some bitch anchor. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, all of you. And thank you for participating, and thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. Friday on the front porch tomorrow, and I really will. I will bust a hump, flat hump, to get these audio issues ironed out. I wish I knew what was going on. Well, most of it's probably attributable to, you know, just old stuff, but whatever. Have a lovely evening. Be well. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.